Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 61 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and today we're going to answer the probing question, will remote working become the norm for accounts payable and accounting groups as we move forward? I always like to say necessity is the mother of invention, and in the last few months, we found that out. Changes that might have taken place in the accounts payable and accounting space that might have taken 5 to 10 years as we were plodding along at the end of 2019 happened in a matter of days. In some cases, I like to say companies took their whole accounts payable function home within 48 hours. Now, it might have been a little rough in the beginning, those first few days, but many, many organizations out there were able to take the function home, get it up and running, and surprise, surprise, they were operating. They operated. Now, working from home has not been commonplace in the accounts payable and I guess accounting function before this whole crisis started. To be fair, if we're going to be fair, and we should, for a long time, it was simply the fact that the technology wasn't there. We didn't have the technology that we have today. The other big factor, as far as at least the accounts payable function is, many managers felt that if their staff was working from home, they couldn't be trusted. They felt that they wouldn't work, they would goof off, whatever else. Now, I'm not saying that this is 100% false. I'm sure there are a small number of cases where that did not turn out to be true, rather. But by and large, what we've found as we go through this crisis is, you know what? Everybody can be trusted, or most people can be trusted. They do their job. The other reason we didn't have more remote working, and this is a minor reason to be fair, but I think it bears mentioning, is not everyone wants to work remotely. There are some people, for a variety of reasons, who like coming into the office and like coming into the office every day. So just to be fair, as we go through this, because sometimes when I talk about this stuff, I tend to forget those folks. They are out there, and they are reasonable. So what we learned as we went through this crisis, when we moved home en masse, so to speak, is that, you know what, we weren't right about the trust. I heard from a number of different people that, oh, you know what, the controller said to me, you know what, the staff can do it. Well, they looked at the accounts payable staff with new light. So that trust factor, or that lack of trust probably is a better way to put it, is kind of fading away. Not completely, not with everybody, but with some, for some managers, a lot of managers, controllers, CFOs, etc., it's been a real eye-opener. And you'll see as we go through this, I have statistics from that I've been collecting throughout this crisis, and I can document how that has changed. The next thing that we learned as we went through this, and I've heard this from many companies, both midsize and large, and obviously smaller companies, is that when employees work from home, if enough of them do that, you know what, we can get rid of some of our real estate. We don't have to pay rent on as much as many places, and there is a direct bottom line impact when you don't have to pay rent. So we're starting to see companies, a number of them, look closely at the leases that they have, which ones are coming up for renewal, and you know what? maybe we can start to have some people work from home some of the time, all of the time. But that bottom line impact is certainly opening management's eyes. One of the things that I always tell people when they're trying to recommend a process change is always look at it and present your case in terms of dollars and cents. And, you know, this certainly is a matter of dollars and cents when we start talking about rental payments. So we're starting to see a change in attitude, and I have some more numbers on that in a little bit, so I'm not going to talk about that too much. The last thing that I want to mention, you're probably seeing it as well, is that while the states are starting to open up slowly, companies are not jumping on the bandwagon 100%. So we hear from a number of companies, yes, the state is opening up. My company is opening up, but only, you know, a quarter of the staff is coming back. Or they, you know, they said, wait, we'll wait another few months. We all heard, you know, Google talking about letting people work from home until the end of the year. I believe it was Twitter who said people can work from home forever if they want. And we're seeing from a lot of companies that the return to work has been slow. My son works at a company where they did return to work. One of the issues that I've been very interested in is that one of the best practice recommendations is that you only have one or two people in an elevator, in some cases one in an elevator. And I kind of could not see how this would work in some of these big buildings. And he said it has not been an issue. He's never been in an elevator with anybody since he's returned to work. So the return to work has been slow. Many companies are saying only come back if you feel comfortable. You can continue working from home. So this has been, a change in the way things looked, but with the way managers and management looks at the whole remote working issue. Now, this is a topic I've always been interested in, and as you probably are well aware, it's been very slow to be adopted in the accounts payable space. So about 18 months ago, I was doing a live seminar. It wasn't a huge group. It was, maybe 20, 25 people. And a large number of them had reported that they had some of their staff working from home remotely part of the time. And I was intrigued by this because I periodically ask about it when I do surveys or live sessions. And, people always tell me, no, our management doesn't trust the staff or whatever. There's always a number of reasons. So we went back to the office and we set up a new poll. And what we found 18 months ago, long before any of us had heard about coronavirus, is that about 23%, in fact, exactly 23% of the survey respondents said yes, at their company, they were letting people work from home one or two days a week if they wished. It wasn't mandatory, but most people were choosing to take advantage of it. And what they found when they did that is that productivity actually increased. So those fears about productivity declining and people goofing off turned out to be unfounded. And people were happier, so turnover was lower. In fact, in many cases, they said it was not almost non-existent. But still, at that point, 18 months ago, 56% said they only allowed people to work from home in cases of emergency. So, you know, if there was a snowstorm, a bad snowstorm, or something of that nature. Okay, so still not the norm, and only, you know, as a benefit, only looked upon by, less than a quarter of all companies. Okay, so as we all know, that changed overnight. And in the beginning of March, all of a sudden, in March, many organizations took their accounts payable and their accounting functions home. And at the very beginning, during this crisis, for 12 weeks, we ran one free event a week. And they were kind of fun events, or at least we tried to make them fun events. And, you know, during them, we'd ask people questions. And so when we first started this, I think the first one was March 23rd. By that point, many people were either working from home or expected to be working from home shortly. Literally zero. Nobody who we surveyed on that first call, and I think we had, 150 people on there, said that they expected their company to mandate that AP work from home even one day a month. Nobody expected. 43% said only in an emergency, and 36% said they thought their company would make it optional. And this was up from 23%. So already, just at the beginning, you could see a beginning of how the mindset was beginning to change. Now, keep in mind that with these first two surveys, we were focusing on the accounts payable folks and the accounting professionals who manage the accounts payable staff, because these are the type of people who come to our events. But, you know, a beginning to see the change. 12 weeks later, when we did the last session, 8% said they expected their company to mandate that folks work from home at least one day a month, and 12% said they expected that their company would mandate that they worked one or two days per week. Okay, so this is 20% up from zero, okay, 12 weeks earlier. So a big change in mindset, people starting to become more professional, more comfortable with the way they looked at people working from home, working remotely. And at that point, 27% said they thought their companies would be willing to make it optional. Okay, so big change in mindset. Now, towards the end of the month, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I did a webinar for a large number of controllers and accounting professionals, okay? So maybe there were one or two accounts payable folks in there, but mostly it was accounting people and basically people who manage the accounts payable function. And we asked the question during that, what was the first thing they expected to change when they went back? First thing, number one thing. And 38% said the number one thing said they were, that they expected was that they would change their remote working policy to allow more working from home, okay? And very interestingly, at least to me, another 15, almost 16% said the first thing that they were going to do when they went back was try and get some money to invest in the technology that their employees were using when they worked from home. So you can see a huge mindset from nobody to, yeah, this works, and how are we going to facilitate it, and how are we going to have this functionality and this capability in place so that the next time a crisis occurs, we're actually set up to deal with it, and it's not the three-ring circus that some of us went through at the beginning of this crisis. I could probably do a whole podcast, but I won't, don't worry, on talking about all the problems that people had when they started working from home and all the things that they told us. Okay, so we talked about, how attitudes are starting to change. And I thought we would, as we start to come down towards the end of this podcast, but I still have a lot more to tell you, take a look at what I think the future of remote working will look like in accounts payable and accounting. Now, obviously, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to predict that there'll be a lot more working from home than we had in the past. Now, in many cases, this is what people want, but not everybody wants it. Remember I said that at the beginning, and that hasn't changed. And one of the interesting phenomena that happened as we worked through this 12 or 14 months, weeks, however long we've been going through this, is that people who thought they would love to work from home, when they were actually presented with it and had to do it, by the end of the 12 weeks, they were sick of it. And I had, one person who said to me, at the beginning of this, I thought that I would love to work from home all the time. And in fact, a lot of times by the time Friday comes, I can't wait to get away from my coworkers. But no, that's not something that I would want to do all the time in the future. So an ideal way to approach this, at least from the employee's standpoint and the company's standpoint, would be to mandate that everybody work from home at least one or two days a week. This way, they would be comfortable with the processes, the technology. We'd know the technology worked. We could have all the security protocols in place. And when we have our next crisis, I don't know when it will be, but I do know we'll have one at some point. It could be health-related. It could be weather-related, that we will be set up. So ideally, at least one or two days a week, everybody doing it, but at a minimum, one day a month so that you know how to do it. However, as companies start to realize that there can be some huge tax saving by getting rid of some of the expensive real estate that we have, we expect that some companies, especially those in big cities, will push for more remote working, which won't be, by the way, as tedious as it might have been after 12 weeks of, you know, being in the house if we don't have all the shelter-in-place rules in place. So if this passes and, hey, you can go out for a cup of coffee or you can go out for dinner or you can see some friends, it will be a little bit easier. I expect to see a bigger introduction, if you will, of the hoteling concept. And this is where people work from home most of the time. They do not have their own desk in the office. And then when they come in, they're kind of assigned a desk, just like you're assigned a room when you go to a hotel. The other thing that we might see is two or three people sharing a desk, so that, you know, I come in on Mondays and Tuesdays, you come in on Wednesdays, and someone else uses the desk on Thursdays or Fridays. So we'll see some of that. Now, people missed things when we went through working from home that they didn't expect. So probably the biggest thing that we heard from a technology standpoint that people missed, in accounts payable anyway, was their two screens. Okay, we heard that over and over again. I missed my two screens. Some people were able to take one of them home, but others were not. And so remember that, talk about that technology in investment. And people also just miss the technology that they had at the office. They had faster internet, et cetera. So that's something, you know, with a little bit of investment of some money, you can fix. The other thing that people reported over and over again is that they miss their coworkers. Now, this is a little bit harder to fix because even though we have Skype and Zoom and Slack, et cetera, it's not the same as being together. It's just not the same. So that issue will be a little harder to fix. And that's why I go back and I say, you know, the ideal concept or approach is where people work in the office part-time and work remotely part-time also. You know, that seems to be the approach where you'll get the most employee satisfaction, although looking at it from a dollar and cent standpoint, it might not be the way that you get the most cost savings, because that comes about when you can get rid of some of the expensive real estate. So because the staffs were able to work from home and prove that they could do it, and they did it admirably in most cases, companies are now more willing to address this and adopt this concept, and there are also some process benefits as we've discussed. So as a best practice moving forward, I would have all my workers who worked on accounts payable do it at least 1 or 2 days a week so that we are set up the next time we have a crisis like this, which, you know, will happen. I don't know when, I don't know what it will be, but more remote working is definitely a best practice. Now, that doesn't come without its own challenges. What we will have to do is update our best practices. We're going to have to change the way we do things. I didn't talk at all about it today because I could talk for hours about some of the process changes that we will have to make, but we will have to make them. So one of the things that AP Now is doing to address this whole phenomenon that we have of changing best practices is we're running for the month of July, I think it goes through August 2nd, or August 1st, I forget, what we call the Best Practices for Accounts Payable Project. There's information about it. You can find it on our homepage. It's an Indiegogo project that consists of three things. There'll be a new book, 127 Best Practices for Accounts Payable. There'll be a limited edition best practice podcast series along with this, and a social media campaign all focused on best practices for accounts payable. So go to our website. The link is, you can get there right from the homepage, www.ap-now.com, or directly on the Indiegogo website. The link for that is at the top of the show notes below. If you've got any interest in it, there's obviously a financial interest that you might have if you wanted to get the book. For example, we're having some cartoons drawn to be included in the book. We're having some cards made for that. But also just if you wanted to support the project, just sharing the information when you see it posted on LinkedIn or Facebook, Twitter, just even giving it a thumbs up or sharing it with your colleagues. Okay, now I'd like to say thank you for listening today. If you like this episode, we would greatly appreciate it if you give us a thumbs up or a like, or share this particular episode with your colleagues. If you want to be alerted to new episodes of this podcast as well as new frauds, sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine at ap-now.com. I hope to see you again on another AP Now podcast. See you then. Be safe, everyone.